Welcome to Being Human,
a podcast where we get real about mental health, self-care, and our own experiences.
And being human in general.
And we're just two humans, Emma
and Jenna, getting real about real life and what it means to be human.
Today, we are being human about ADHD part two. So we're talking about ADHD and our experiences before being diagnosed, after being diagnosed, and kind of what that was like in between. So, hi guys. Emma has run to the kitchen to get some sauce for her chicken. So I'm just going to start us off and just kind of fill you in on where we were last time. So we were going through this book and kind of talking about our, all the symptoms that are described in this book and kind of like what we experience, what we don't, how we experience it. So we're on to this second part of hyperactive symptoms. So the ones before were all the inattentives. So that's what Emma experiences most. I also experienced the inattentive ones, but and the hyperactive ones. So we'll see how this goes. Welcome.
Thanks for waiting, guys. I know the life of the party has just been a little late.
When I'm always walking back, I could hear her go, "Mom, that's a symptom of ADHD."
Oh my gosh, she's just being so annoying, but love her.
Okay.
Jackie, love you the most.
Hyperactive.
Okay. Why? What is the reason?
So the hyperactive symptom number one is fidgeting. I can't tell you a time when I was sitting down and not fiddling with something. Whether it's mentally or physically, I'm always doing something. Like, even right now, I'm just scratching my palm. Or, like, bopping my toes. Like, when I was a kid, my parents would call me Wheels because I literally ran everywhere I went. Still do. Like, every time I get out of my car, I run to the house.
That is so funny.
And I'm either like that or I'm a sloth. Like,
I am a sloth. I'm actually not Homo sapien. I am. Yeah. I'm a Homo sloth.
Okay.
That's so funny.
That was so funny. Okay, second one. You leave your seat often. So when I saw this, I was like, what? What does that even mean? Like, leaving my seat often? I don't get that. But the little graphics are someone being like, giving an excuse to move. Like, do I need to go do this? Yeah, I'll go do it. Or they're sitting on a couch being like, do you want popcorn? Do you want a drink? Like, constantly feeling like you need to just get up and do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I don't have that. And then a few days later, I was like, I have that. I do that all the time. Like, do you ever find yourself looking for excuses to get up? Or is that not something that you experience?
Sometimes, like, I'll just want to change activities.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'd say the difference from, like, being bored of something, it's, like, I literally can't do something, like, an activity that I'm bored of doing.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot make myself.
So you're like, hey, what's next?
Yeah.
You're ready to move on? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I find that, too. Like, you're... It's the same thing, like, your brain's just on the move.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, feeling restless. Before I go on this, do you ever feel restless? Like, the picture is someone with a thought bubble of just, like, 100 things.
Mm-hmm. Usually I feel that way when I'm thinking about how horrible our world is.
Interesting.
That happens a lot.
Yeah. So it's, like...
I'm very into social justice and, like, environmental stuff. So, I'll just get... That's when I get, like, my jumps, like, you're, like, what you were saying. How yeah. You, like, boom, boom, boom. That's when okay. I'm, like, next topic, next topic, next topic.
And then your brain's just full. There's no space.
It's, like, impending doom. And yeah. Then I just am, like, okay.
And then
nothing I can do about any of these things.
You're
right
sitting
now.
There, like, how did this happen? Oh my gosh, and the next picture is someone with a giant to-do list. And I thought that was a coping strategy for me. Like, I thought, okay, great. Like, I have found a coping strategy. Once I write it down, I don't have to think of it anymore. But then I, like, know it's there, you know? Sometimes
yeah.
I never get to it.
it's just
always there.
It lingers no matter what.
Yeah.
I have a hard time letting things go, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, difficulties to relax. So there's a picture of someone trying to do yoga, and there's like frustration smoke coming out of their head, and they look so mad. I literally, any time I try to meditate or do yoga or anything, I'm getting better with yoga, and meditation kind of takes time. Like, you do it, and then you're like, wow, I barely did anything, but it gets better every time you do it. And then if you don't do it for a while, you kind of start at square one.
Yeah.
But when I do meditation, like, 12 minutes will go by, and it'll be like, great job. And then I'll be like, holy, I forgot I was meditating. Like, I just planned what I was doing tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my brain just doesn't want to relax.
Yeah. Or, like, when we do those PQ reps, I'm like, I want to do this so bad. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be so boring. And it's like, but when you're practicing it, it's just as important as actually doing it, because you're not going to do it unless you practice.
Yeah. And that's when it comes in, like, avoid difficult tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And, why is meditation difficult? Like, it is.
I think it's hard for everyone.
It is, yeah.
It's just, like, again, extra challenges, right?
Mm-hmm. It's like putting more on your plate, but also taking more off.
I usually feel better after.
Me too. I do too. Number five, always on the go. So that was me as a child, being called wheels, running everywhere I went, like, constantly doing stuff. If you ask anybody I know, they'll say, oh yeah, Jenna's always doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just need to actively be like, hey, stop. Like, last night my sister had a ball game, and I was like, you know, I'd rather just stay home and, like, get a bunch of stuff done. And then I was like, why would I not go to ball game, though? Like, that's a fun memory. I'm not going to remember painting a piece of furniture in my basement for school,
mm-hmm.
you know? And sometimes it's hard to force yourself to not do stuff.
Yeah, because it's like, for me...
But do you have the opposite?
No. I feel the same way. Like, I'm always busy, but, like, I have times where I can be doing stuff, but I physically just can't do the thing that I need to get done.
Yeah.
So, it's hard for me when I have, like, a plan to finally actually do something, like, an important thing, and then something more fun comes along, and I'm like, I don't know what to pick, because I also think, like, I want to have fun memories, and...
Yeah. And then you start conflicting, like, and your brain's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. Something that I can relate to with this always-on-the-go thing, in kindergarten, I used to just want to do everything, and I was like, there's not enough recess, or there's not enough playtime, like... I just want to do everything. I want to do the blocks. I want to do the house. I want to, like, just get all experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But then I would be, like, I would get attached to one of them, and I'd be like, oh, can't decide.
Everything is hard to do. Nowhere
to go. I'm going to have to just go everywhere. So then I would jump between a bunch of them, and then eventually I would just forget what I was doing and then stay in that one spot for a little while.
You describing that kind of just... describes my brain and how my brain works, except with thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah, I like talking about all these things, because for anyone who's listening and you have no idea, like, you've never heard about ADHD before, someone could be listening and be like, oh, I relate to all of this, you know? Mm. And then it could lead to a diagnosis, and that could change your life. And even if you don't think you have ADHD, you know someone who does, this could help you help them.
Mm-hmm. And I think ADHD, like, tips can help pretty much everyone. I think there's no harm in learning how to strategize when you're feeling a certain way.
Yeah. I have a question. Do you have trouble, like, making eye contact when you're having a conversation?
Yeah, I never know. Like,
I'm hyper aware of it.
I'm hyper aware of what the other person is thinking about me.
Yeah.
If I'm giving social cues that I am listening and paying attention.
Yeah.
And that I'm actually not paying attention as much as I could be if I was just, like, looking down.
I'm more focused on making sure the person thinks I'm listening than actually listening. Like, when I babysit, they're like, okay, blah, blah, blah. I put this out bedtime. I'm like, yeah, okay, great, sounds good. Like, have a great time. See you later.
Exactly.
And then they leave and shut the door, and I'm like, wait. Actually,
I'm going to need you to just run that back.
But when I'm looking away, it's mostly when someone's trying to explain something to me.
Mm-hmm. It's like,
if I'm looking away, I'm not listening to you. I'm actually listening to you more. Like, my boyfriend was like, Jenna, can you please look at me when I'm talking? Like, you're not listening. And I'm like, I actually am listening. And I'm listening more when I'm looking away. Because when I look away, I'm not thinking about, like, other things. I'm just, like, I'm there, but I'm not looking at you.
I usually have to defocus my eyes to actually, like, fully absorb what someone is saying. I have to defocus my eyes so that I can, like, fully grasp the auditory information that I...
Yeah, it's like nothing else can be going on.
It's like hyperfocus.
It's like, okay, appears great. Not listening because you're looking away and you're not... Yeah, but you're totally listening. Guys, we're listening to you.
But sometimes I'm not, okay? I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, if I'm actually engaged... If you address me first and I am fully, like, with you...
If I'm like, okay... Yes.
I'm here. I'm listening. If I look away, still listening. Sometimes not, though. Okay. Number 6. Talk a lot. Guys, I think
this is... We have a
podcast. We need somewhere to put all this talkness. And,
I actually don't talk a lot. Unless I'm in an extroverted mood, which we've talked about before.
Yeah, Emma and I have talked about this, like, we talk a lot. Her ADHD symptoms manifest in whether or not she's feeling extroverted or introverted, right? Like, if you're extroverted, you're like, blah, 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 like, you're talking a whole lot.
Yeah, which is makes sense, like, why in playtime in kindergarten, I was like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And why, like, it was work time.
You're like, la, la, la.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, when I get in my car after I leave, I'm just gonna be, like, content with being in the silence. I'm gonna go home and probably not say much to anybody because I'm just, like, not in that mood. And it can appear like we're mad or whatever, but it's just, like, me.
Rather, yeah.
Yeah. Number 7. Blurt out answers.
Yep, only happens in extroverted mood.
Yeah.
And it happened, Jenna and I feel like when we're talking, we're like, finish each other's sentence. Oh god, that was not English.
I mean, it's crazy. Each other's,
we finish each other's
sandwiches.
That's what I was gonna say. That is like
us.
Yeah.
Number 8, interrupt others. Have you guys noticed this? Because sometimes I'm aware of it and I try. But it's, like, impulsiveness is huge with ADHD.
It's so much... Oh, my God, I just did it. So much work to not interrupt as well.
But the thing is, like, I don't care when you interrupt me because I do it to you. I'm not...
It's a mutual understanding.
Yeah, we're like, okay, cool. You just started talking. I didn't finish what I wanted to say.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's so funny. From now on, guys... Like, in this episode only, please, can you just be aware of when we interrupt each other? Count how many times and then let us know. Number 9, difficulties to wait.
I think that goes hand in hand with the interrupting one.
Maybe, like, difficulties to wait. I do struggle waiting, except when I have something to fidget with, I'm good. Like, I'm fine. Or, like, whenever I'm with my boyfriend, like, I'm always, like, twisting his arm hairs or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, just doing something. Or, like, he's like, or I grab, like, with my toes, I, like, pull on his leg hairs. He's like, Jenna, stop doing that. It hurts.
Yeah.
I'm like, sorry. Like, I don't even notice I do it. It's so weird.
Sorry, Luke.
I do that. I do that exact thing too, and I always get in trouble. I'm like, not in trouble, but you know what I mean.
You get it handed to you.
Yeah, he's like, that hurts. Like, why do you want to hurt me? I'm like, I don't
want to at all. It's just what happens.
And it's also like, I feel like it's like a physical compulsion. Like, I need.
Yeah, to and then once you're stopping, you're like, okay, well, that was kind of fun. Like, let me do it again.
Yes. I want to say something about this.
Okay. Difficulties to wait.
Are you having a hard time?
Yes, I'm having... Oh my gosh, yes! When I flip onto a page, I'm like, hey, we talked about that for 30 seconds, and every time, literally every time, guys, I've been, like, slowly turning the page.
As I'm, like, talking.
As Emma's still talking. Are you done?
No, but that was, wasn't okay. That a good point?
Let me put this toy. Hey, squishy. Oh,
okay. Okay, so what I wanted to say about difficulty waiting, I usually don't have difficulty waiting if I can do whatever I want while I'm waiting. If I can't, if I'm forced into doing something I don't want to do while I'm waiting, pain, immense, yeah. All over my body. It's just, I hate it. Like if somebody's like, you can do this fun thing after you do this. Why? Yeah. Like, or like, you have to like do this like test or whatever, and then it's lunch. I'm like, I just want it to be lunch. Or like, usually not a test that has a little bit of stress involved. Wait, but if it's like a project or something, and I have to do this much before lunch, I can't do anything.
Do you struggle with firsts and thens?
Yeah, I think.
Like, with kids, that really helps them. Especially people who are autistic, like, it helps them. I work with special needs individuals, and I find it really helps to say first this. And then in their brain, they're like, okay, I know exactly what's going to happen. But if it's like, okay, let's go do this, blah, 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 you know, like, I personally like to say it for myself, too, because then it, like, gives me a little bit of structure. But I can see where it's the total opposite for you, like, mm-hmm. Then you're like, okay, well, I have to do this before I do that. Like,
yeah. Like, yeah. It's also such a catch-22 because I'm like, yes, I want the end result. But, like, saying, do this, then you can have this is, mm-hmm. like, so frustrating to me. Being like, you need to have this many sentences, you can have lunch. I wonder if that would work better or not. Like, I actually don't know. Because yeah, I haven't.
You should experiment a little bit and see what works best.
Yeah, but I just remember, like, in school specifically, like, I would just, like, watch the clock for 20 minutes, like, being in my own world, because I could only think about lunch.
Oh my gosh. When I'm editing, this is an example, when I'm editing the podcast, I listen to it, and I'm like, oh, we still have to go, I still have to listen to the part where we talk about first and then. It's like, oh, I still have so much to do. Before I'm done.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. I do that a lot too, I guess.
Yeah.
But when it's like out of your control completely, it's when I struggle with it.
Yeah.
Because when I say it to kids, I'm like, I decided this.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, part 3 of the book is unofficial symptoms. So these are kind of things that are like, not officially, this is ADHD, but it's like, this is ADHD, basically. So, emotional dysregulation. So, I'm not really familiar with this. Do you think you could explain it a little bit?
Yeah. So, it's just, like, I'm pretty sure it's when you have difficulty managing / processing your emotions. For me, I have a really hard time, like, just letting myself be upset about something. I'm like, it feels like I'm almost bored. Yeah. Of the mood that I'm in. And then it kind of creates frustration. And then I am just, like, in a slump. Like, I can't process it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, it's, like, I'm avoiding the task of thinking about the hard thing and allowing myself to feel that way. Especially because when you have ADHD, you have dopamine deficiency. So imagine, like, trying to make the conscious decision to give yourself even less.
Yeah.
It's like we're always, like, searching for something to fill that dopamine void. But we
can't. And, like, also, emotional dysregulation really happens for me with my boyfriend. I get very upset.
That's the next page, I think.
Oh. Okay, let's just go there.
No, it's not. But we will get there. There is one. So, guys, Emma's going to hold that thought and be reminded.
I can't.
You can. You can. You might not be able to.
Can we just go to that one first? And then... Because this is the same thing. It's the same thing.
Where is it? I can't find it. Anyways, okay, just keep going.
So yeah, so I really miss my boyfriend, and then because he's like a huge source of dopamine for me.
Mm-hmm.
So if like something happens and he needs to cancel plans, like out of his control.
Oh, rejection sensitive dysphoria. And the picture is literally someone with a broken heart and their phone says can't tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's basically just like I am addicted to this person essentially because I'm getting so much
from them. Yeah.
So that's a challenge that I deal with a lot, like just being fine. Coming up with my own sources of dopamine. Because it's like, he's like the easiest source. He just wants to be around me.
And you're like, great.
And is constantly giving me attention and things to talk about and think about. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's very sad if I... And every night I miss him. It's so... Aww. Yeah.
That's sweet, though.
Or it's just, like, selfish.
I don't think it's selfish at all.
Well, I think, like, we're talking about... the reason why, like, it's just my brain.
It's just your brain. Like, you can work on it, but it's never gonna stop.
Yeah.
You know, like, it'll get better. Because now you're aware of it.
And I just need to diversify my dopamine sources.
So the next one is sleep issues. I personally don't have those, but what does that look like for you?
Going to bed because it's boring. I'll just want to be on my phone or do something else that's fun.
Yeah.
Even though I have the greatest intentions of going to bed. But what actually has been helping me is the fear of being too tired at work, which gives me a stressful night's sleep, but at least I'm sleeping more hours.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. So.
If you're listening to this and you have sleep issues, for some reason I have a lot of tips and tricks that help. So, maybe I'll post on the page at some point about, tips for that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, guys. The next one. Sensory sensitivity. This is what made me realize I have ADHD. So, my sister has an Alexa in her room, which is across the hall from my room. And if I'm sitting in my room or doing something... And she has her Alexa on, and I'm far enough away that I cannot hear what song it is, like, the words, but I can tell there's something on. My brain is all there. Like, I'm not present with myself whatsoever, and I can't... Basically, my therapist explained it, like, you're supposed to have, like, a bunch of different categories of sound. Like, your voice, the person you're talking to, background noise... blah, blah, blah. And then your brain is supposed to be like, okay, background noise, not important. We're not really going to focus on that anymore. Like, you know, you just forget something's happening, kind of. And then when you, like, snap into reality, you're like, oh, that freezer's making a sound, you know? But then she's like, people with ADHD, it's like they don't have, they either have those categories but can't sort them out like that. Your brain just focuses on all of them. Or you have one giant category. Of all the things.
Wait, what's the difference?
The same thing, it's just a different way to explain it.
I feel like you have the category one and I have the whole one. Can I say why?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because if this goes over different things, like, I feel like I'm always like, oh, this is just like this. Mm-hmm. I'm always making comparisons. Like, that is why discussions and, like, English things are, like, my favorite.
Yeah.
And I think the reason you schedule and, like, you have an hourly planner. Like, that's why I think that, but maybe not.
Yeah.
I guess what you're saying is more sensory.
But if that was a way to divide it, I don't know. For me, my sensory issues are like, so you guys know how obsessed with my boyfriend I am, right? But if he's like cuddling me and I feel like I can't move, I'm like, explosion, get away from me, get off.
Or even like a little tiny like rub on the shoulder, I'm like, no thank you, like I don't know how else to explain it. And Luke is very good about that. He's like, okay. And at first he was like, rude, or probably, like he never said that, but I'm like, I have to explain to him, like, when I'm like, no thank you, it's just like, I don't know what else to say, except I really need you to stop.
Yeah.
I totally understand that.
Like, it's like, I actually really like when he like tickles my back or plays with my hair, right? But I need a lot of like physical freedom, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, and I bet it's something to do with like fidgeting too. Like if I feel like I can't move around properly, it's triggering.
Do you ever find like, the thought's gone.
I don't find.
Okay, next page. Social awkwardness. I'm socially awkward sometimes. I think I'm getting better at it. I'm socially awkward in situations where I feel uncomfortable. Yeah. And I know I'm uncomfortable. Like, I'll be walking down the street, I'll say hi to strangers, like, morning, like, I don't care. But when I'm with somebody, like, that I kind of knew in high school or something, like, I have to really, like, not be your friend to be uncomfortable around you. Like, if I worked with somebody, it's like, yeah, we were friends, like, I'm fine. But if it's someone, like, a friend group that I'm not familiar with and it's me and them, I'm like...
Or, like, someone you haven't had one-on-one
time. Or, like, Luke's family, sometimes I'm very, like, reserved, not with his parents, but, like, if his sisters are around, it's not, like, I'm not scared of them, it's just, like... This is a situation that I'm not used to, and I need to recognize that and, like, recognize I'm going to be a little bit different in the way I show up.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes it's so hard to concentrate on what you want to say because you're thinking so much about those people. Or, like, small talk is super hard for me. Yeah. Like, it is the worst thing ever for me. Yeah. I hate it. I want to, like... dive into, like, the complexities of interpersonal relationships and politics right away if I'm talking to you. Like, I just want to know different opinions about stuff that I care about. Like, I do not care about what the weather is. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about, like, what your day was like unless it was super exciting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel bad.
You like talking about things that are purposeful, right?
Or, like, just, like, interesting. Like, I think I get so much joy from just talking about things that interest me. And then if I am not interested, I actually
Because we're don't impatient, feel like talking. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, we already talked about that one. Lack of awareness. So there's someone, like, just getting out of the shower and their speech bubble said, you're very early, and the other person's like, I brought guacamole. I don't really... Lack of time awareness is what it says.
Oh, lack of time awareness.
I've been, like, borderline late to everything I go to, but I don't think it's because I'm unaware of the time. I think it's just because generally time flies.
I'm chronically 5 minutes late to everything. Like, I have, like... This is what usually happens to me. I have my...
Chronically 5 minutes late.
Yes. Like...
Can I let her in?
Yeah. What happens to me is I get ready, and then I'm like, oh, wow, I have, like, 3 minutes left. I have enough time to make my coffee. But then what do I do when I'm making my coffee? Oh, I realize that the sugar isn't full. Like, the sugar bowl. So I'm like, oh, I'll just fill up the sugar bowl. And then I'll put the sugar on the counter. I'll remember that I need to, like, put milk in my thing. I forget to put sugar in my coffee. Then I realize that I left it out on the counter.
And then 10 minutes then, have gone by.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Now I'm late.
I relate to that. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I need to go get my water bottle out of the kitchen. And then I'm like, I go to the kitchen. Oh, there's my phone. Oh, by the way, I need to do this, blah, blah, blah. And then I leave the kitchen without my water bottle.
Yeah.
Hyper-focus, yes, 100%. I don't think we need to explain that. So, also, wow. Just because I'm bored and I'm ready to end this podcast episode.
Okay.
So,
but
guys.
Okay, Jenna's bored, so I will testify for you.
Thank you.
I've seen Jenna whip out French projects.
Oh.
Like, nobody's business. She is like, I don't know what to call this other than a computer wizard. Like, have you ever seen someone just go like in yeah. a movie? Like, I just have to break into the quadratic database and then I will finally be able to, oh, cracked it. You know what I mean? That like, is right how I away. Picture Jenna's brain, like,
little jinkies, and yeah. then you're like, okay, cool. And okay, I guess.
And I totally that. Feel that way. Once I'm, like, in that flow.
Yeah, it takes you longer, though, to get there.
Yeah, totally. Like, Jenna has a little bit more initiative, but she also has higher anxiety than me, so that might be the extra push.
Could be.
I don't know. Just could differences. Be. Could be. It takes... If I'm motivated to do something, I will do it.
There's a spider on my arm!
Oh, scary.
Ah! Ugh!
Okay, so this has been great. Bye.
I squashed it and guts are all over me.
Welcome to the new Spider-Woman movie.
Dun, 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 dun. Thank you for listening, guys, to our episode about ADHD. If you are listening to this and you're like, okay, I definitely have ADHD, or you have questions or anything, first of all, follow the Mini ADHD Coach on Instagram or wherever. And then please reach out to us. We would love to talk to you about that and help you on your journey. So, yeah. Have a great day, guys. And I wanted to mention, I saw this book at the library the other day, and it was called ADHD Stole My Car Keys.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, bye.